Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Also, we're going to turn and read one verse in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, and 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 6. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I want to thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful care for us, Your love for us, and Lord, for the wonderful salvation You provided for us, and Lord, to which that work was accomplished, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary. And Lord, and then He was buried and He rose again. We're thankful for that wonderful truth of the gospel. Now, Father, again today, this preacher needs Your help. I need Your power. I need You, Father, more than I need anything else. I need You. And I ask You, Lord, to provide that which this preacher needs this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Ephesians, the first chapter, the seventh verse, it talks about the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that was given unto us according to the riches of His grace. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we're saved, we're washed in the blood of Jesus, and this was done because of the grace of God. It was completely because of His grace and His wonderful mercy upon us that we're saved today. He sent His Son to die on the cross, shed His blood for us, that we might have eternal life. What a wonderful truth. The purpose of God, the Bible tells us down in verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. The whole purpose of all of this is the ending of the purpose of God is to gather together all of those that are in Christ Jesus, those in heaven, those on earth, those that are in Him. He'll gather them together as one. That's a wonderful truth. That's what it's all about. That's why we get saved. That's why we serve God. So that one day we'll be able to stand in His presence, gathered together. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful blessing it is that God cared that much for us. Now, we're living in a time when there's very few people who are real sure of anything. I find myself from time to time saying, I don't know. And then when I do that, I'll say to myself, but there's some things I do know. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. That's as sure as anything can ever be. No doubt whatsoever about it. So that I do know. There's a lot of things I don't know. But there's some things I do know. It's sure, you see, no doubt about it. But I know this for sure. The Apostle Paul, over in verse 12 that I read to you, was persuaded about something. He says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed in him against that day. The Apostle Paul said he was persuaded. He had looked into the truth of it. He had searched it out. He had meditated upon it. He had looked in the scriptures and he had found the truths of the Bible, the Word of God. And he said, I'm persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There was no doubt whatsoever that Apostle Paul knew for sure also that he was bound for heaven. No doubt about it. And he knew that God was able to keep that which he had committed unto him. I want you and I today to imitate the faith of the Apostle Paul. As a father here this morning, you're so important to your family. You know, you say, well, that's a kind of a statement that, you know, anybody can say that. But you're more important than I think that probably you understand. Or maybe you do understand, but let me say to you, you're very, very important to your family. The leadership that you take, the direction that you take your family, is going to matter throughout all the ages of eternity. What you decide to do, what you know for sure about your salvation and what you've committed unto God is going to make a difference not only in your life, but in your wife's life, in your children's life, in your grandchildren's life, and your great-grandchildren's life, and I could keep going. It is absolutely going to make a difference. So I'm saying to you, I want you to imitate Apostle Paul's faith here in knowing, first of all, of course, that you're saved. And also, and we're going to talk about in a few moments, some things that the Apostle Paul had committed unto the Lord. And I'm asking you this morning, asking myself this morning as a father, and of course this is not leaving out the mothers and the children, because all of us ought to do the very same thing. But to commit your life unto the Lord, commit all these things unto Him, so that you'll make a difference. You'll make a difference in your family, you'll make a difference in your community, you'll make a difference in your church. You'll just make a difference for the rest of your life. There are some people who have trouble, you know, they try to cover up their feelings on the inside. I understand that. I'm a little bit that way myself. I'm not an open person. I don't talk a lot about my feelings on the inside. But every one of us has them. And there's one thing that'll help you. If you'll get the assurance that you're God's child and you'll commit some things to God, all these other things that's going on around you won't matter as much. There's a lot of things that goes on in this old world. I mean difficult things, troubles and heartaches and all kinds of things that go on. But when you get some steadfastness in what you believe, who you trust in, who you're committed to, all these other things seem to just kind of fall in place. You still have to face them. But they just fall in place. And you know where you're committed. You know where you're going. You know if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know who you've committed your life to. And like I say, all of the things of this world kind of grow strangely dim. The importance of them began to grow strangely dim. The things that are real important is to you is, what does God think of me? Am I pleasing Him? That becomes the priority of life. So I'm asking you as a father today, and of course mothers and children, to commit some things to the Lord as the Apostle Paul had committed some things to the Lord. There's no doubt, we'll talk about that in a moment, but he had committed his whole soul to the Lord. I think he had committed, as I read through the Bible, he had committed his ministry to the Lord. Just completely committed it unto him. He committed his whole life, the direction of his life, to the Lord. In Sunday school this morning, we talked a little bit about the Apostle Paul and using him as an illustration of what he was before he saved and after he was saved, the difference. He wrote a whole new agenda for his life. Completely new agenda after he got saved. It was a whole different way of life. And what I'm asking you today is that wouldn't that be the best way for us to live? Just commit some things to the Lord. I believe the Apostle Paul had committed the temporal things, the materialistic things unto the Lord. We read that a little bit in Sunday school. He said he lost all things and he counted it all but dung. He just committed it unto the Lord. I believe, of course, then he committed all of his eternal interest. Everything in the future, in the eternity, he committed all of those things to the Lord. They was the Lord's. He committed his body to the Lord. There's no doubt about that, because he was shipwrecked. There was times when he was hungry. The Bible says there was times when he was cold. The Bible says there was times when he was naked, and I think that especially means that he did not have enough clothing to keep himself warm. He was imprisoned many times. He was beat. He was stoned and left for dead. He had committed his body unto the Lord and said, Lord, whatever you want to do with it, if you want someone to beat it, okay. If you want it to go hungry, okay. If you want it to end up in prison, okay. If you want somebody to throw rocks at it, okay. It wouldn't have been what Paul, I'm sure, would have chosen for himself, but he committed it unto the Lord. He committed his whole life unto the Lord. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Let me read just a few verses. Third chapter of Philippians, verse number 7. We read these this morning, and I'll read them quickly, and we'll just kind of go over him. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yet doubtlessly I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We could read many more verses of scripture there, but the Apostle Paul had one thing in mind. Everything he had, he'd committed it unto the Lord, and what the Lord wanted to do with him, his body, his life, was okay. He said, all I'm going to do is simply just press toward the mark of the high calling of God. I'm just going to do that for the rest of my life. What I'm saying, daddies, listen to me just a moment. I'm not trying to make you a preacher like the Apostle Paul. I'm not even trying to make you a missionary, as the Apostle Paul certainly was a missionary. I'm not even really trying to make you a deacon. I mean, that's all right if all those things come about. That'd be wonderful. But I am asking you, wouldn't it be proper, daddy, if you just commit your whole life to God? Now, no matter what you do, no matter what God has planned for you, what you're going to do in life, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing just to commit yourself, your individual self, unto the Lord, to just be whatever God wants you to be and just to live for God? Wouldn't that be a proper and right thing? I think that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. He's not just talking about preachers. He's not talking about just missionaries. He's talking about you and I in general. We just need to commit ourselves unto the Lord. And Apostle Paul had set an example here of committing his whole self, his whole body, unto the Lord and just giving it unto God. I believe he committed his character unto the Lord. I believe he did that. I believe that he has committed his reputation unto the Lord. I believe that many times, and you'll know it to be true, and we're going to turn in a verse of Scripture here, but you'll know it to be true. There's sometimes that you're misunderstood. Sometimes you're misquoted. Sometimes, as a preacher, let me say to you, that's a very hard, difficult thing sometimes to stand in a pulpit and preach week after week, usually four messages a week, without somewhere along the line being misunderstood, misquoted. Sometimes you're thinking in a different direction than I'm thinking when I'm saying something, and you take it in a personal note. You see, it's something that's so important. Preaching is designed to convict people of sin. That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed for me, the preacher, to get up here, and I'll use Luke here, Luke, and point out something about Luke and say, Luke, you better get your life straightened out. But it is designed for me to say, you better get your life straightened out, and then Luke can take that personally into his life. The Holy Spirit can say, you know, there's some things in my life, now I'm just picking on him, some things in my life that I need to get straightened out. But a lot of times, people will take it personally like, well, he's talking about me. I'm just simply saying to you, as simply as this, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to every one of us. And there's principles that are taught in the Word of God that every one of us needs to hear. We need to hear it. If there's sin mentioned, we need to hear that sin mentioned. If you're not doing it, you won't mind a bit. And if you are doing it, you'll probably take it personal. What I'm saying is, don't take it personal. Take it as the preaching of the book and trying to get your life straightened out, sin straightened out in your life. That's what it's designed to do. That's what God wants to do with it, you see. That's why He uses preaching. See, another thing is this. A lot of times there's things in our past that the preacher brings up. He has to bring things up. But it was in your past. I always tell folk, I want you to understand something, folks. Things in your past that you've repented of and walked away from and got forgiven, you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to let them just tear you apart. It's not designed to do that. But I have to still preach about those things because there's all these young kids around here that's growing up. And they've got to hear them. Things that would hit you and say, oh my, preacher's talking about me. No, I'm just simply saying it's sin. And if you've already repented of it, that's fine. Just look to the Lord and thank God for that. If you haven't repented of it, repent of it. Amen. So what I'm saying is, preachers, you know, many times are misquoted. They're misunderstood sometimes. But that's not only true for preachers. That's true for you too sometimes. You also can do that very same. The reason it is for preachers is because he's up here talking all the time. I mean, honestly, four times a week, I'm up here preaching. So I can be misquoted. I can be misunderstood so many times. Now, you can say, boy, if I was up here, I wouldn't have said that. Well, I don't know whether you would or not. Thing is, you're not up here. See, and you're not misunderstood. You're not misquoted. Most of the time, I'm talking about in a situation like this, because you're not up here doing it. But I am saying this, in life in general, there's times you understand that you're misunderstood. There's times when you're misquoted. And so what Paul is saying here is, he just committed his whole reputation, he committed his whole life unto the Lord, and just let the Lord take it and do with it. You say, Apostle Paul misunderstood? Yes. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse number 9. Fourth chapter, verse number 9. Says, but I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Apostle Paul said, I didn't have any special place to live. I didn't have a home. He says, and labor, working with our own hands, being revived, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered it, being defamed, we entreated, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourge of all things unto this day. The offscourge there means something like scraping, something that you sweep up, maybe like you made some sawdust or some filings from metal filings. You sweep them up and throw them away. He said that's what the world considers us. Now, the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest Christians that had ever lived. In the eyes of God, he was a wonderful, wonderful Christian doing the work that God sent him to do. But in the eyes of the world, he was an offscourge. He was like the sweepings that you would throw away, the scraps. What I'm saying is, folks, it's not important, Daddy, what the world truly thinks of you as long as you're doing right with God. Now, that's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying you don't care what the world thinks. The world is going to look at you as a Christian testimony, yes. But I'm saying to you, as long as you're walking with God, that's what's important. So I'm saying to you this morning, daddies, dedicate your life to God. Commit your life unto the Lord. Commit your character and your reputation unto the Lord. Commit your body unto the Lord. And in fact, he committed his whole life's work unto the Lord. He committed it unto Christ, his life's work. I'm asking you, don't you think that'd be a good thing, dads and moms, to just commit your life's work, whatever it is God has given you, just commit it unto the Lord? See, what a great, wonderful thing that would be. Do you know it would have been easier for the Apostle Paul to remain a Pharisee? And we studied that in Sunday school a little bit, but I'm not going to go back over that. But he, as a Pharisee, he basically had it made. He was a scholarly man. He was a well-to-do man. He had money. After that, he had nothing. It would have been easier, as far as life is concerned, for him to remain a Pharisee. But he committed himself unto the Lord. Now, don't you think that'd be a proper thing for us to do? See, too many times people think, well, you're trying to make a preacher out of me. I mean, I want you to be a preacher if God wants you to be. If God doesn't want you to be, I don't want you to be. But if God wants you to be a preacher, I want you to be a preacher. Some of these young people, I believe with all my heart, God's calling out some of these young people for preaching. I think he's calling out preachers' wives. I think he's calling out missionaries. I believe he's going to do that. But he's also going to just raise up some good, solid Christians in this church that'll go out and just serve God wherever they're at. That's all I'm asking you to be. Commit your lives unto the Lord. Commit your life's work unto the Lord. If you, no matter what you are, no matter what you do in life, simply commit it unto the Lord and let God use you. Amen? That's the way God wants to do it, and I believe that's what he did. He committed his whole life's work unto the Lord. He committed everything he had mentally unto the Lord. Instead of being a scholar for this world, he became a scholar for the Lord, and he just dedicated his mind and everything unto the Lord. He dedicated his instincts, his desires, his ambitions unto the Lord. I believe that's the way God wants you and I to do it. Everybody has ambitions, but commit them unto the Lord. Let God use them, you see. And Daddy, you couldn't do anything greater for your family. You just commit everything you've got unto the Lord. You're a blessing unto your family. You'll help your family for and not just your family now, but your families to come. You'll help them. You'll be a blessing if you just do that. I believe also the Apostle Paul committed the day of his death to the Lord. When it come time for Apostle Paul to die, he said, I'm ready to be offered. No problem. God, when you want to kill me, it's okay. You know, I believe that's the way we ought to do it too. You know, the Lord ain't gonna take you 1 minute sooner than he's ready for you. And wouldn't it be good just to commit that unto the Lord and say, Lord, you know, not live in fear and all of this about when we're going to die and all this. Just say, Lord, whenever you want to take me, it's okay. When you're done with me, just take me to heaven. He committed his life, the day of his death, unto the Lord. God, whenever it's right for you and your plan. Amen. Boy, that takes away a lot of worry. Just takes away a lot of worry. Some of your older folks out there, you having pains? Do you have pains and have trouble getting out of bed? You know, that's just part of life. And you know what? Just commit it unto the Lord. Just commit it all unto the Lord. God knows it's probably not you're going to die that day. It's just another pain you gain. Just commit it unto the Lord. You know what? That's a right, proper thing to do. What I'm asking you, daddies, grandparents, I'm asking you to commit your lives unto the Lord. Just the rest of your life, commit it unto him. Say, whatever you want to use me for, I want to be used by you. And then also, if you look in the book of Ephesians, you find out in chapter 1, verse number 13, he says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What I simply want to say is that God has the ability to take that which you've committed and do with it what he wants to do. He has the ability. That one that you trusted in, he can do all things. He's got you sealed for an eternity. Forever. You're sealed forever. And he has the ability to keep you forever. Let me ask you a question. Can you hold on to your salvation? Can you make it? Can you hold on to it? Will you lose it if it's left up to you? Sure you would, and I would too. But it's not left up to us. It's left up unto the Lord, the one we put our trust in. So we've committed that unto him, you see. He talks about over in the book of Timothy there, according to that day. What day is he talking about? Well, he could talk about the rapture day, the day that Jesus comes. He could talk about the day you die. He could talk about the judgment day. He could talk about whatever day. What I'm simply saying is, he's committed unto him. No matter what comes, it's committed unto the Lord. And I just want to encourage you. Just commit everything unto the Lord. Put yourself in his hands, you see. Can the good shepherd preserve his flock? Is he a shepherd that can lose his flock? Oh, no. Can the bishop of your soul, is he able to oversee your soul and take care of you? Oh, yes. Certainly he is. And we just need to commit ourselves unto him. Is he the one that can keep you from sin? Can he keep you from sin? Can you trust him to do that? Can he give you the power to keep from sin? Yes, he can. He's the one you need to commit everything to, you see. Look at 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Look what the Apostle Paul said in verse number 8, fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know the word perplexed there, and he as he says in verse number 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair. The word perplexed has the meaning of there doesn't seem to be any way out of this. We're perplexed. You kind of stand in somewhat of a doubt how it's going to turn out. You don't know what's happening around you. Things, strange things may be happening. Hard, difficult things are happening. You're kind of puzzled. You're a little bit confused. The Apostle Paul says, I was perplexed, but I wasn't in despair. And the word despair means to be utterly at a loss. It means to be without hope, to give up, to lose confidence. Apostle Paul said, yes, I was perplexed, but I wasn't in despair. I had not lost hope. Why? Because he had committed everything unto the Lord. And folks, you go back over the Apostle Paul's life and you read about him, you study his life, it's an amazing thing, the things that man went through. And we look at our life, we haven't seen anything to what he went through. And he says, but I was not in despair. I did not lose all hope. And I'm saying to you, daddies, you commit yourself unto the Lord. You'll find your life, the things of this world kind of growing strangely dim, and you just live a whole different kind of life. You'll have the assurance that what comes into your life is there because God put it there. He's allowing that in your life because he loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to do right. He wants to build you as an individual, as a Christian, you see. And then even in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. Going back there, he understood that God had the power to keep him from the power of death, which he did over and over and over again. God saved his life and spared his life. And then, of course, he preserved his soul. He preserved his body for the next world in heaven. He had preserved all of those things. Folk, a Christian doesn't have much to worry about. It's all taken care of. God's got a place for us, waiting over there for us. It's prepared. He's got it already made. What are we worrying about? The future. Amen. Commit it unto the Lord. Going back over then into 2 Timothy. If you'll notice in verse number 12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom. That's the secret. That's the secret of this whole thing, is committing ourselves unto the Lord, is to know whom we're committing it to. Who is it? He says, I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Who is it we've committed it to? It's unto the Lord. See, we know who we're trusting in. We know who we're putting all of this, our trust in, and then committing all these things to. It's to the Lord. And He is able to do whatever needs to be done. Amen. Isn't that a better life? Wouldn't that be a better life just to commit your whole life unto the Lord? Apostle Paul said, I know. He don't want you to be ignorant. Are you saved today? The Apostle Paul would say, I know I'm saved. You know why? Because he had committed his soul to the Lord. Amen? You can know you're saved today. You can know. You can have the sweet assurance that you're saved today. You can have that. Why? Because you've committed your soul unto the Lord. And you can spend the rest of your life with that sweet assurance that you're God's child because you committed your soul unto the Lord, you see. And the more you study the Bible, the more you understand it, the more you read it, the more you hear it, the more assured that you're going to be that you're in the hands of God forever. And you don't have to worry about it. Folks, isn't that a way to live? Wouldn't that be much better for you, Daddy, this morning? Wouldn't your whole family life be different if you just got everything committed unto Him? Let me ask you a question. Have you committed your soul, the keeping of your soul, unto the Lord? Are you a saved man? Are you a saved lady this morning? Are you born again? Have you committed that unto the Lord's keeping? If you have, He'll keep it. Amen? Let me ask you something else. Have you committed your whole life unto the Lord? Just committed it unto Him. Have you ever just decided to commit your life unto the Lord and just committed everything you have unto the Lord, that it's His? That's a decision you ought to make this morning. If you have not, you see. I want to talk to the young people just a few moments. Some of you just getting out of school, getting ready to step into a life. So maybe not this year, maybe next year, maybe years after that. Boy, I want to encourage you, just commit your whole life unto the Lord, whatever God wants. Just commit it unto Him. And you know, Apostle Paul said he's able to keep it. He's able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. He's able to do it. You say, well, Brother Ross, I don't know what it don't make a difference what you're supposed to do in life. Just commit it to God. Just say, God, here I am. I just want to be what you want me to be. And I want to commit my whole life to you. And then you can just do with it whatever you want. Amen? That's what God wants for you. Adults, God wants the same thing for you. You may have already done that. That may be the way you're living your life. I don't know. Maybe you aren't. But you need to commit your whole life unto the Lord. Say, God, just use me. Amen? If you're unsaved, you certainly need to commit your soul unto the Lord. You need to be saved today. You need to be born again. Say, Brother Ross, how do I know if I'm saved? Let me ask you this. If I would ask you a question right now, do you know if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If I asked that question, how would you answer it? I've heard people answer it all different ways. I would have answered it before I was saved. Well, I think I would. I've been a pretty good guy. I try to treat people good. Well, that immediately tells us we're lost. We're lost as we can be. You see, you've got to understand there's been a time when you've been born again into the family of God. Been a time when you put your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You committed your soul unto Him completely and fully. You've trusted Him and He's born you into the family of God. See, that's necessary. If you can't say, I'm going to heaven this morning, it'd be a great, wonderful time for you to walk this aisle this morning and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Just trust Him, believe upon Him, and He'll save your soul. It would be a great decision also, if you have not already done so, come to an altar of prayer and get down on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, you can have Him the rest of my life. You can just have it. I'll commit it unto you, whatever you want to do with it. I'm going to read your Bible. I'm just going to try to learn the will of God and know what God wants for my life. And as you direct me, I'm just going to follow it. Wouldn't it be a great thing to do? Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here this morning and I do not know for sure. I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure of that. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not sure. Would you just raise your hand? Won't embarrass you. Would you just raise your hand? Brother Ross, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm concerned. I'm not sure. Would you just raise your hand? Say, Brother Ross, I'm a Christian this morning. I'm saved. And I haven't really committed my life unto the Lord, but I sure would like to. Would you just raise your hand? Say, God worked on my heart. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. Someone else? God worked on my heart today. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. You can take it down. Thank you. Someone else? Someone else? I just believe God wants me to commit my whole life unto the Lord. Just do what He wants. Someone else? Thank you. Thank you so much. I see that hand. I believe that's what God wants me to do. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your wonderful grace and mercy. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that we all certainly will make a new commitment unto Thee, to give our lives unto Thee. But Lord, those who have decided today to commit their lives unto the Lord, I pray that You'll take that, Lord, and use them to the glory of God, and help them, Lord, as they go forward in life to keep that commitment that they've made to You, Lord, just to do what You want them to do. I pray if there's any here unsaved, oh God, that You would save that soul. You'd convict them of their sin, their need of Christ. And during this invitation, they'd come receiving Christ as their Savior. We pray for Your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.